I'm Bob Franklin. Thanks very much for joining me. This is Like It Is. Today, an encore interview and spotlight of the late Philip Martin, tribal chief of the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians, a federally recognized tribe in East Central Mississippi. Today, I'm on location on the Choctaw Indian Reservation in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Joining me is Philip Martin, chief of the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians. Thank you, Chief Martin, for being a guest today on Like It Is.
Oh, thank you very much, and welcome.
Now, Chief Martin, I'd like to start with my first topic. The 104th Congress will be more conservative than the last Congress. What are your thoughts on the 104th Congress?
Well, I really don't know, but I do anticipate some drastic changes probably. I don't know what the policy will be towards Indian people in the country and what the Indian policy will be, but and it a lot depends on who winds up to be committee chairs, and we're very interested in a couple of committees up there, the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. I believe that it may be chaired by Senator McCain of Arizona. That would be fine with me, but my concern would be whether the committee will survive or not. The Senate Committee on Indian Affairs has been established only recently, and it's a good committee because it takes up a lot of the issues of Indian people.
Speak about some of the challenges.
They have a policy of developing a reservation-based economy. They want to get a lot more independence from the federal government, and so they feel that economic development, reservation development, human resource development is the way to go. And I think that that is a good direction, and it should be supported by Congress, because here's a group of people that's sitting on land base, has natural and human resources that needs developing. And we've gone a long ways in doing that, and we hate for a new Congress to come in and turn those progress back when it should be nurtured.
Outgoing Agricultural Secretary Mike Espy is warning that some programs which benefited Indians could face the axe in the new Republican-controlled Congress. Espy spoke to the 50th National Congress of American Indians. He said that they shouldn't count on continuation of the Agriculture Department's commodities program, and that program provides surplus food to needy people. Are you as weary as outgoing Secretary Espy about that potential program being cut?
Yes, because hunger still exists here in the country, in the United States. And many people don't live in farm areas. In our case, there used to be a lot of small farms here, but that has been taken over by large conglomerates. Farming in Delta. There's no real farming here in this part of the state, east central part of the state of Mississippi today. So what natural resources here available to us would be trees, forestry. But our land is not that big where we would have to depend on, we could depend on forestry. So 15, 20 years ago, we came up with a strategy of developing industry on a reservation, and we have been really successful in that area. And so, but yet, we've put a lot of people to work. Today, we have over 4,500 jobs that we've created here on the reservation, doing a lot of work with the automotive industry, Ford Motor Company, Chrysler Corporation, Navistar Corporation, and many other 500 companies like AT&T, IBM, and others that we deal with in the automotive industry, and a telephone and stuff like this, that our economy here is pretty good in terms of creating jobs and putting people to work. So yet we have a number of people that are still below the poverty line that we have a food distribution program for them is a big help to them. And I would certainly hate to see that stopped because, you know, you can't substitute food. You know, people have to have it every day, and if there's none available, then, you know, they're in trouble.
Well, Chief Martin, let's talk about the success that you've had here on the Choctaw Reservation here. In terms of turning it around, is it safe to say that you are a advocate, a strong advocate of private enterprise?
Certainly, I'm a strong advocate in self-determination. I mean, I think that building reservation economy is a very important key to any group of people. Any city or even on the reservation. So, yes, I would say that I believe that people are more self-reliant if they have a job. If they can see a future for their kids, chances are good that they'll be going to school, and just a lot of good things happen with a strong economy.
So in terms of making the outgoing community aware of your staunch belief in private enterprise or private enterprise, yes. How did you go about making the connection to the broader community, not just within the state, but outside the state? How did you make those particular entities understand what it is that you were attempting
to do? Well, it's not
easy
because every small town, city, and state are looking for ways to create jobs, and it's highly competitive. And we've been successful because we started small with originally with General Motors, but we've grown. We've been able to produce quality product at a competitive price and been able to deliver. These kind of things are important. So I believe that our industry and the way that we operate things here is very beneficial to the tribe. So all of our industry here is one of the 500, Fortune 500 industry. So we're very fortunate in that standpoint, and it can be done all over the country rather than all these big companies going across the border in third world countries. You know, if we had the kind of strategy to create jobs here in the country, it can be done.
An endeavor that you're quite familiar with is the Silver Star, and that's the gambling casino there. What has that meant to the quality of life for Indians here on the Choctaw Reservation?
Well, you know, the gaming is highly controversial. But Congress saw fit to establish a law, enacted a law in 1988 that gave the right to federally recognized tribes throughout the country to build casino on reservation land, tribal lands, provided that the state has a public policy of gaming. And it provided some provisions in there where the state, the tribe had to negotiate a state tribal compact, which would regulate the gaming of that particular tribe. And so all of that has been finally passed. So we have a Class 3 casino established here on the Choctaw Reservation. It's been highly successful. And it's nothing like people perceive that it would be. We have a first-class operation here. It's well accepted by the general populace within a 500-mile radius here. We're very providing the kinds of game that the people like, and we're doing a lot better than we projected that we would. And we do have a good facility. We have about 40,000 square foot of gaming area. We have a hotel, 100-room hotel, plus three nice restaurants that people like. So we think, and we're already expanding, so the good thing about this is that people enjoy what is available here, and they have accepted quite well. So we don't have a problem. It's good, and Congress need to know that. Congress enacted this law, and we have many governors throughout the country as opposed to Indian gaming, yet they have gaming within the state themselves. So I think it's kind of a discriminatory attitude, but that needs to be changed, because if a tribe can be successful in any state, that's a plus for everybody. So some of the governors are probably not up to date on economy or the rights of minorities, or particularly the Indian tribes. We were the first one here, and we had governments here long before any government was ever established. So we're going to stand for our rights in these areas.
Picking up on that last point regarding those governors who may be in opposition to gaming, in a state where gaming or gambling is legal, what advantages or disadvantages does the state enjoy by having Indian reservations, which also has gaming on their reservations?
Well, I think it's not the Congress didn't pass the law for benefit of the state. It passed the law for the benefit of the tribe. And most tribal governments have a sovereign status. So in many cases, state government doesn't provide any assistance to tribes. So if you're not represented within that state, then I don't see why you should be paying tax. But at any rate, the controversy that they think exists there is not real controversy. It's designed to develop economy. If you develop Indian economy, you reduce welfare status, you create jobs, you provide the kind of services that people are in need. And it turns out to be a good economic development that I think is not fully appreciated.
Bill Richardson, a Democrat of New Mexico, would tend to agree with what you just mentioned, because he stated that Indian gaming is a desperate remedy for a desperate situation. He went on to add that few things have proved as successful at stimulating the economy among Indians than gambling, so he tends to support your point on that.
Another point that might be made is that the public perception of gaming in general is one of prostitute, drugs, and organized crime, these kind of things. That was true in the late 30s, 30 years ago. But today, gaming operators are not crooks. They are businessmen. They're out to make money, and the tribe is out to make money, and provide a service of fair games that everybody has a chance to win as well. So it's not the same kinds of gambling that they used to have. This is really a fun game. A lot of people come, they know they're only going to lose their money, but yet they enjoy the games and have a good time. It's a social type gathering. You see a lot of people meet one another that they haven't seen in a long time. And it's a good thing. We got this non-Indian city around here in this county says this is the best thing happened to this county. So that's a good testimony there.
Another point, and I think we've touched on it a little bit, regarding what opponents say is unfair competition, is that Indian reservations pay no taxes from the profits of casinos.
I can differ with that.
Okay,
yeah.
I certainly differ with that, and explain why that's not accurate.
Well, the federal government and the state government collect taxes on jobs that we create on the reservation. That amounts into millions of dollars. The tribe, as a government, doesn't pay any other government. We're tax exempt with the federal government. We're tax exempt from the state government. So that's the only tax that we don't pay. Now, individual earnings, individual purchases of items off reservation, They pay tax just like any other citizen. So they can't make the, if you really went and analyzed taxation, they can't make a case that Indians don't pay tax. We do.
Let's come here on the reservation. Another point of opposition is that opponents say they've contended that alcohol is not allowed on reservations, but would be and is permitted in the casino. Is that maybe a conflict there from your vantage point?
No, it's not a conflict with us because it's highly controlled. We purchased and followed the guidelines of the state ABC board, and we have a good working relationship with them. And it's highly controlled, and it's not a what you might call a regular bar. It's drinks are available for gaming patrons that want to have a drink. And we're not making our money on alcohol. It's a service provided.
Do you think those states who have long had gambling and made profit, millions of dollars off gambling,
mm-hmm.
are somewhat jealous or maybe not really?
I wouldn't call that jealous, but they recognize it's
competitive.
Competition. That, but I don't believe that Indian gamers can make a dent in the gaming industry. I understand it's well over 300 billion industry. And so if you add up all the Indian gaming, you probably have about 10.
So it's
a drop in the bucket.
So was Donald Trump just over exaggerating when he.
Well, I think he did.
Think so? Mm-hmm. Gaming on the Choctaw Reservation was approved by a 2-1 margin by your tribe. To those members who voted against gambling, what were some of their reservations against gaming on the Choctaw Reservation?
Well, as I pointed out earlier, they their platform was that gaming would bring prostitution, drugs, and organized crime. A standard argument everywhere. And that's not happening here. And we have security, we have good law and order. We work closely with state gaming commission, state U.S. attorney, and all law enforcement around here. So we're well organized to correct any wrongs that might happen here.
You're listening to the Radio Public Affairs program, Like It Is. Today I'm on location in Philadelphia, Mississippi. My guest is Philip Martin, chief of the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians here in Philadelphia, Mississippi. I'm Bob Franklin. Like It is a Radio Public Affairs presentation. Chief Martin, I'd like to ask you about states and how states can either cooperate or not cooperate with Indians regarding gaming. What can a state do legally to prevent Indians from constructing casino-style gambling ventures? And the second part to that question is, have you experienced or been made aware of excessive use of legal technicalities to prevent construction of these Indian ventures?
Well, you asked a couple of questions there in one sentence there. As a general rule, we have a very good working relationship with the state. You know, we work closely with the governor's office, Governor Fordyce, his economic development office. We don't receive much service from the state except pass through a federal program sometime come through the state, but we're not in the state budget. It's earmarked for the tribe, so you know that's. We feel for a long time, I felt that you know if we or our relationship is with the federal government, so we do have a working relationship with the federal agencies and the government that we didn't look to the state for anything. And state didn't provide anything either. So that's been kind of a good relationship with us. But the gaming came along and Congress ruled that tribes that want to get into gaming has to obtain a compact from the state or the governor So that's where the state or the governor can kind of put impediments in your way, and that's what they're doing throughout the country. Many tribes that are legally entitled to establish a gaming are not able to get the kind of compact that they want from the governors. And the governors organized in such a way that they're trying to water the law down even today. And so under the new Republican regime, I don't know how we're going to survive there, but nevertheless, as I said, we always stand up for our rights, and we're going to be fighting those laws that would be detriment to the benefit of Indian people.
Now, the case in that the United States Supreme Court recently ruled in the Alabama case, how would it affect Mississippi Choctaw Indians? The court decided that Alabama's Creek Indians could not operate video pool tap games if state officials object. Do you see a trend starting to develop as a result of that?
No, the governor in our state and the tribe have acted in a good faith and have executed a compact. That's legal and that's law. So those kind of things cannot be changed unless it's changed by Congress. And I don't see Congress being that hard on Indian people, and I believe that they're going to be fair and support those things that are good and support the progress that Indian people has made in the long history of in this relationship with government.
So you don't think there's a move afloat in the Congress to amend the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act of 1988?
I think there are some people who would like to see a change, but I don't think there'll be a majority.
Let's talk about
if it did, that would be disastrous for Indian rights, tribal rights.
Let's talk about topic that I covered with Tim Gallego, who is the publisher of the Lakota Times.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the sports use of Indians as mascots, the Redskins, the Atlanta Braves.
Well, you really got a lot of questions today. And, you know, a lot of time I'm not qualified to answer all these questions.
What do you think about
that? You know, it seems that there are two different types of Indians. You have urban Indians. They're highly offensive on anything Indian. That's probably right. But so long as the Indian people have been here, and as long as there is respect for Indian people, then we have no problem. But when they use it for comical events and stuff like that, nobody wants to be in that kind of position. So it's just plain old ignorance and racism when they do that. So I think that if you have enlightened people, that won't happen.
As you continue to develop this very beautiful reservation here in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and you've been very successful, do you ever worry about the possibility of losing some of your culture as a result of the newfound wealth and prosperity? As a result of the revenues generated through gaming, do you see any chance of losing any of your cultural identity as a result of prosperity?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of people think that progress, you lose your culture, especially economic progress. And I said no. Here, if you're reservation-based like we are, all our economy has been developed on a reservation, it just makes you stronger. It makes your culture stronger, because you maintain your population. They stay here and you practice the culture. You're just making it a lot stronger than if you didn't have an economy here. If we didn't have an economy here, we would be scattered around all over the state or in the country, looking for ways to make a living. And that's where you really lose your culture, because you don't have enough time to or enough population to maintain it. You even lose your language.
As I was waiting for my session with you, I noticed there's a lot of people trying to get to see you, and I know you have a varied array of things on your schedule. But as you have a quiet moment and as you reflect of the many years that you've been here, what can you name a proudest moment? What's been the crowning achievement to your tenure here as chief?
Well, that's a hard question because to me, everything that we've done here has been a very satisfying event. When I first became involved with tribal affairs, we didn't have anything. We didn't have a tribal government. We didn't have any money. We were destitute. We depended entirely on a single agency here called Choctaw Agency, Bureau of Indian Affairs, and they were non-Indian dominated. Tribe people here didn't have any land of their own. They didn't have no voice. They had no opportunity for education, housing, or economy. So when I, coming from a background as such as that, and look at what we're doing today, it's like day and night, and we're very proud of what we've accomplished here. And the stronger we get economy, the more support we receive from everybody. And we have a lot of non-Indian supporters of Choctaws in their efforts towards self-determination. So our schools are great. We have a good school that we manage ourselves, high school, K through 12. We have some early childhood program. We got a good hospital here that we manage. Everything you see on a reservation is managed by the tribe. Our own law and order, everything here. That makes it, that's the way to go. If you can't improve a tribe, a group of people, then something is wrong. We're much less dependent, or we're working towards less dependence on federal government, and we're on the right track to do that. And that's the kind of thing that government ought to be supporting rather than trying to. The problem with government is all Indian people, all Indian tribes throughout the country are the same, and it's not. We're all from different geographic location. We all have a lot of different cultures, language, and history. So you can't just deal. You have to kind of deal with tribes individually and support the progress they make at their own speed.
Many, many complicated issues.
Yes.
And we don't have enough time to tackle any of them, but we did at least raise some eyebrows, I think. My guest today has been Philip Martin, chief of the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians here in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Chief Martin, thank you, sir, for being a guest today on Like It Is.
Thank you very much.
Today's Like It Is program featured the late Philip Martin, tribal chief of the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.